This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
When you face a financial hurdle, it can feel like the foundations you've been establishing for your family begin to crumble. Then you start to question everything. Are others better off because they work harder than me? Is it my fault that I'm in poverty? How can we understand the blessing of rizq while also understanding the blessing of being deprived? It all starts from a single truth. Allah has already decreed your rizq for you. Losing wealth can be devastating. There is the uncertainty of the future, the regret from the past, and the feeling like all of your hard work just went to waste. Even more than your own grief and anxiety, there can be the shame of facing your family. You feel like you failed them. You fear that they've lost respect for you. And then you witness the tears of your loved ones, and it hits you like an arrow to the heart. The tension in a household that is going through a tough time is going to be felt by everyone, especially the kids. But in everyone learning to accept a new financial circumstance, there's a potential growth that could prepare you for anything that is to come. It's sometimes the first potential iman-breaking or iman-making test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you. Before Allah tested Ayyub alayhi salam with his family and his health, He took all of his wealth away. Before Allah took Khadija and Abu Talib away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He tested him with the boycott and the loss of all of his possessions. Accepting your rizq is at the core of accepting the life that Allah has decreed for you going forward. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Habbath al-makruhan, al-maut wal-faqr." Accept two things that you dislike, death and poverty. And he said, "By Allah, I do not care whether Allah tests me with wealth or poverty, for the right of Allah in each of them must be fulfilled. So if it is wealth, then the answer is gratitude. And if it is poverty, then the answer is patience." And that's what Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah said, true richness is only found in contentment. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if Allah wills good for a servant, He puts richness in his soul, meaning that person is going to be content with whatever he has and is always going to feel rich. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and if Allah wills harm for a servant, ja'ala faqrahu bayna aynayhi, He places poverty right in front of his eyes, meaning no matter what he actually possesses, he always sees poverty. So should we love deprivation then? In some ways, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if only you knew the rewards that you had with Allah, you would want to be increased in poverty and need. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't saying to ask for the circumstance of poverty. He was saying to ask for the rank of the poor and the blessing of perspective that comes with being poor. A person not given to much of this world is just not going to be as deluded by it as someone who has so much of it. And if he's content, he's happy here and he's happy in the hereafter. In fact, his contentment makes up for the other deeds he could never do. And Imam Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah said, "Man radiya min Allahi bil yasiri min al-rizq, radiya Allahu minhu bil qalili min al-amal." Whoever is pleased with Allah with a little bit of sustenance, Allah is going to be pleased with a little bit of his deeds. So being content with Allah, no matter what the circumstances, can lead to Allah being pleased with you in the next life and fast-tracking you to Jannah. And subhanAllah, the majority of this ummah are of this mold. Simple, poor people who do their dhikr, who maintain their obligations, and who sleep with full hearts, even if they have empty stomachs. And it's no coincidence. Yahya bin Mu'adh rahimahullah said, "Verily, the poor only become happier than the rich because of their remembrance of Allah, for they are in the custody of Allah." And look at what he says. He says, if the siege of poverty were to be lifted from them, you would find few of them still remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. because that's how we are as human beings. Now there is a Bilal path to Jannah, and there is a Abdurrahman ibn Auf path to Jannah, the path of hardship and the path of generosity. Most people get into Jannah through the Bilal path, but the Ummah always needs its Ibn Aus. But how many people with full stomachs have limitless cravings that leave them spiritually starved? Imam al-Muzani rahimahullah said, "You are sufficed in this world with whatever you are content with, even if it is a date, a sip of water, and just a little bit of shade over your head." Then every time more of this world is opened up for you, the more disappointment consumes your soul. The point is, what are you craving and who are you competing with? Allah makes it clear that people who look around at others and wonder will almost certainly stop looking towards Allah and the wonders He has promised them. And even though it may seem like they have it all, or that the constraints on your rizq always keep you a few steps behind, that same appearance of poverty with the worn down shoes or the tattered clothing will be a mark of honor for the believer on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ said, "My fountain is vast. Its water is whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. Its cups are as numerous as the stars. Whoever drinks from it will never be thirsty again. And the first people to arrive at it will be the poor migrants, their hair disheveled and their clothes stained, who are not considered for marriage, and for whom the gates of leaders are not opened." The Prophet ﷺ is saying to those who don't have in this world, look at what you can have in the next. But it's not just that Allah replaces your sustenance in the next life with reward if you are patient. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah said, if you've been prevented from rizq in one category, know that you are not prevented from another category. And so while you may feel you are prevented from sustenance in one way, it may be that Allah has increased it in another way. Sometimes the rizq of wealth is actually stopping you from seeing another form of rizq. Maybe it's your friends or your family or other blessings you didn't even realize you had or that weren't even possible when you had your wealth. Now, does deprivation come through sin? Yes, sometimes it does. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Verily the servant is deprived of rizq because of a sin he commits." And as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, nothing brings rizq like leaving off sins. But that gain or loss could be in quality instead of quantity, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who puts barakah in a little and destruction in a lot. Subhanallah, we have a Lord who deprives some people out of love so that He can raise their rank, and some people out of punishment to bring them down. But whatever the reason, a person has this opportunity to gain from their loss. It's either the repentance that brings you back to a path to Jannah, or the rida, the being pleased with Allah, that increases you in Jannah. Sometimes Allah is inviting you to a spiritual opportunity to live with true tawakkul. As the Prophet ﷺ said, if you were to rely upon Allah truly, He would provide for you just as He provides for the birds. They go out in the morning with empty stomachs and they return full. You only get to know Allah as Al-Qabil, Al-Basit, the one who withholds and the one who gives, when you live both of those situations and you learn to trust Allah in both of those states. Then the circumstance becomes irrelevant. The Prophet ﷺ said, "At-ta'imu shakir bi manzilati sa'im as-sabir." The one who eats and is grateful is just like the one who fasts and is patient. It's not about what you have or don't have. It's about your ability to see Allah through both poverty and prosperity. There was a debate between two Islamic scholars in the past. One of them was rich and the other one was poor. So the one who was poor comes late and he takes this shot at the other one and he says, "You know, I'm sorry, I got distracted because I ran out of oil for my lamp." So the rich scholar, he responded and he said, "Well, you know, I too was distracted because of how beautiful my chandeliers were." The point was, is that they both had their tests and they both got to know Allah through their tests. متى أعطاك أشهدك بره ومتى منعك أشهدك قهره، فهو في كل ذلك متعرف إليك ومقبل بوجود لطفه عليك. When he gives you, he shows you his kindness. When he deprives you, he shows you his power. And in all that, he is making himself known to you and coming closer to you with his gentleness. If you are given, be grateful. But if times are tight, be graceful. And at all times, rely upon Allah. He is the best wakil, the best agent you could possibly ask for. If your situation is difficult, then seek the means to come out of it with full hope and optimism. And don't confuse being content with Allah's decree with despair and Allah's relief. Continue to strive and rely upon Allah, because He knows what you have lost and He knows what you have missed through all of these tests and trials, and He can give you more in return than you could ever imagine. Just don't throw away the opportunities Allah is putting in front of you, because they don't seem valuable at the time.
قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ.